This candidate statement is probably...
This is Guitar Shorty. Thank you for supporting your listener-sponsored community radio station, Pacifica Radio for Peace, 90.1 KPFT Houston, my hometown.
And you are listening to the Voices at Work Labor Day special right here in 90.1 KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, kpft.org on the World Wide Web. Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed those clips. Now we're going to go to something a little bit more local. Monica, you grabbed some audio for us a while back. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we went to the Harris County AFL-CIO meeting back early part of August, and we asked for a few brave souls to give us their thoughts on the union movement, where it's going, how it's affected their lives. You know, if they could be in charge and determining where it should go, what would they do? If they could be president, what would they do? So let's take a listen to a few of our people here in Houston.
Well, my name is Norma, and I'm with the Harris County AFL-CIO. I'm also with OPEIU 129. My job entails to encourage and coordinate participation by union members and members of their family in programs of the Harris County AFL-CIO. I've had non-union jobs, and the union has affected my work life and personal life because I see the power and strength of the unions. Three important things that I believe organized labor should focus on is grassroots organizing, educate members and get members motivated. If I were president of the United States, three things I would the Employee Free Choice Act, health care, and immigration reform.
Jeff, what union are you a member of?
I'm a member of the Plumbers Local Union 68, Houston, Texas.
Okay, and how long have you been a member of the Plumbers Union?
26 years, 27 years now.
Okay. Have you ever worked in a non-union job?
Yes, before I got in the union.
So tell me, how do you think that being a union member has affected your working career?
The union has given me an education. They've taught me safety. They have given me my family, health insurance, and pensions.
We're at kind of an interesting point in time. If you had something to say about what organized labor focused on going forward, what would be the two or three things that you would see as important to focus on?
Number one would be safety of the workers. Number two would be project labor agreements.
And what do you mean by project labor agreements?
Where all projects would be done under a project labor agreement, where the unions are involved, using apprenticeship in training for the future. Okay. Education is very important.
That essentially is education of the union members in their work activities?
Yes, the apprentices. They go to school and they also work. So they earn while they learn. So they're learning a trade.
Now, if we could promote you to being president of the United States of America, what two or three things would you focus on there?
Secure the borders. I would go after contractors that hire the illegal immigrants, and I would amend the Constitution.
And how would you amend the Constitution?
Just by letting people know about it. Let people understand about the Constitution and why it was written.
I am with International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the IBVW Local Union 716 in Houston, Texas.
What do you do?
I work for the City of Houston now at the airport, and I am the contract compliance supervisor over all the prevailing wage jobs to ensure that they are paid correctly, the wages and benefits and all the required associated funds, such as workman's comp, unemployment insurance. So I supervise all three airports, Hobby, Ellington, and Bush, for the City of Houston. But I had been an electrician for 25 years with my tools with the IBEW before I went into this job to do this for contract compliance.
In your contract compliance position, is that a unionized position?
No, it's not. I work as in the public sector, but what it is that me being a union member, I was actually introduced to contract compliance when we were building the hotel downtown, the Hyatt, for the Super Bowl, I was asked to come out of the field through one of our union members here, one of the leaders, and take a contract compliance job with the city so we could ensure all those workers were being paid correctly during all that construction time before Super Bowl.
Okay, so even though your present position is not a union-affiliated position, you are still using your union contacts and your union background to more or less supervise the way the employees are being paid and treated, basically.
Absolutely.
Tell us, how do you think that the union has affected your work life over your career?
It has meant everything to me. My husband is a retired union electrician. His father was an electrician. It has just been everything in our life as far as our standard of living, our quality of life, and the life we were able to give forth to our children and grandchildren. So we owe everything in our household to the union.
If the union had not been in your life, where do you think that you would have seen diminishments?
Many things. The safety, the training I received. In fact, I'm an instructor at our JATC school. Now, also, I would have to say that if the union had not been present, I probably would have stayed teaching school and not gone into a non-traditional occupation that I did in the mid-70s, which was very unusual for women to be in the construction industry in the mid-70s.
And can you say a little bit about the benefits that you think that you have, apart from pay, the benefits that you probably wouldn't have if you were in a non-union job?
Okay, for one thing, it's a pension. I definitely would not have a pension that I can look forward to when I retire. I would not have had an annuity account. And absolutely probably no medical insurance at all. And this medical insurance is provided by the contractor and is not pulled against my hourly pay. Including dental and vision, and so those are three very important ones that I know would not have been offered in probably a non-union shop.
And am I understanding you correctly in saying that these are benefits that you have earned in previous jobs that once you get ready to retire will carry forward, even though you are not in a union position today?
Correct. My 25 years, all that I've accrued will be there when I'm able to retire in 6 years.
What do you think are the two or three most important things that organized labor should focus on going forward?
I think some of the most important things is, of course, recruitment. Recruitment, and not just organizing somebody, but recruiting those that we think will be members of value to our union. Once we get those folks in, giving them leadership skills so we can so they will have the tools to work with. And number three, I think I see a lot is once you organize them, we lose some of them. So retainment would be an important factor to me that I think is important.
We are right now going to promote you to President of the United States of America. Tell us what would be your three top priorities.
I think my top priorities is getting this country back to work would be the number one priority. Jobs, 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 as you hear on the news. Number two is bringing our manufacturing industry back to the States. It's just dreadful what has happened in that respect. Another thing that I think would be important to me is national security. I think that's very important. I work at an airport, so we have high security out there. But the jobs, getting our manufacturing jobs back, and addressing the immigration issue.
And that was Janice Rooley. You were speaking with her at the council meeting a few months back. She's a delegate of the Central Labor Council, also a member of my union, the IBW 716, and I believe she's also kind of an active member of the HOPE. She's working for the city, contract compliance issues, and she's been doing a lot of good work there for many years. You know, I've known Janice, just for a really long time. She's been a very active woman in the local, and she helped start the Watt Women, which is a women's support group for women in non-traditional roles. She's one of my heroes, and you know, it's kind of a common thing. If you if you're in the labor movement at all, you may not know the names if you're not in the, directly involved, but there's a lot of people like Janice that are working behind the scenes to make sure the contractors are paying proper wages and workman's comp and things like that out on these city projects to make sure your tax dollars are not being stolen when they're supposed to be going to the workers. Make sure that it goes to the workers. The self-compliance does not work, and she proved that. She's recovered hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years on these projects. So thank you, Janice, for all that you do. And for all you other brothers and sisters out there that are involved in fighting for worker rights, fighting for, you know, so much. If you're just a job steward and you're making sure there's water on the job, you're making sure that safety issues are heard and taken care of before someone gets hurt, you are the unsung heroes here in the Houston area. And that's kind of a common problem, is that we don't hear enough about these type of heroes in our schools, on our airwaves, on our TV sets. So in honor of Janice and all those Richard Shaw, all those brothers and sisters that are out there doing what they can, I want to play a song by Mike Stout, The Heroes of History.
Here's to all the people who do the work but don't get recognized. You grab no headlines, your name's never memorized. I'll remember you, put you in my heart, keep you close to me, sing this song for you, tell the world the part that you play. Here's to all the thinkers whose thoughts we get from someplace else. The ghostwriters and the singers whose songs are sung for somebody else as well. Though you're behind the scenes, faceless in the dark, lost in sanity, I'll use every means, show the world the mark that you've made in history. To all the people who stand up for what is right. Facing fear and intimidation, shine like a beacon light. I'll toot your horn for you, stake your claim in song, unfold your mystery. I'll give credit where it's due. Show where you belong on the chains of our history. And here's to freedom fighters whose love is etched in blood. And contributions are buried in the mud. Go unrecognized. I'll drink a toast to you. I'll raise my celebrate. don't get recognized. You know you are. You grab no headlines, names never memorized. I remember you.
And again, heroes of history. There are many of those that you probably haven't heard about. Joe Jenks, off his Rise of One CD, has a story that he tells of the Everett Massacre and one of the survivors of that massacre many, many years later. And Jack Miller, you probably haven't heard that name, but he's one of the unsung heroes. Just like in that previous song. So here's Joe Jenks telling the story of the Everett Massacre.
In 1979, my good friend Brad Warren was in journalism school, and he got a summer job with the Everett newspaper in Everett, Washington. And he went into the newspaper, and his first assignment was to go find somebody old and interesting in Everett and write a story about him. That's what they told him to do. And he did a little research, and he stumbled on the name Jack Miller. And Jack Miller, as he found out, was the last living survivor of the Everett Massacre. Now, the Everett Massacre was a situation where the workers were trying to organize the sawmills up in Everett because there was a lot of child labor. It was all piecework. The faster they could cut these cedar shakes in the mill, the more they got paid. And they were trying to get a standard hourly wage. And there was a minister down in Seattle that was very sympathetic to the cause of the workers. And he helped them organize to get a boat called the Verona, part of the Mosquito Fleet out in Puget Sound. And they got the Verona, and they got almost 300 of them on the Verona and another 40 or 50 on another vessel, because the Verona's max capacity was just about 300. And they were heading up to the docks, and they were singing, "Solidarity forever, solidarity forever. Solidarity forever, for the Union makes us strong." The song that is just ubiquitous to the labor movement now. They were singing that on the way up there, getting themselves psyched up on this Sunday afternoon to head up and have a full-blown demonstration up there. And somebody warned the sheriffs, and they went out and they deputized 200 men and armed them with rifles and pistols and shotguns and lined them all up on the docks there in Everett in sort of an iron fist. And as the workers are approaching on the boat, one of them's hanging off one of the sidearms, and he's singing, "We meet today in freedom's cause and wave our banners high. We join our hands in union strong to battle or to die. Hold the fort, for we are coming. Unionists, be strong. Side by side, we battle onward. Victory will come." So you can imagine 300 or 350 workers out on this boat coming towards the dock singing this at the top of their lungs. And there was something about that's a battle or to die thing. And one of the sheriff's men took them seriously and started shooting at them. And before he knew it, they started shooting all across. And the guy in the sidearm took probably 15 bullets and died on the spot, fell into the water. And the workers started rushing over to the other side of the Verona to try and get away from the bullets. And the Verona started listing over to the side. And a bunch of them just fell off the deck completely into the water. And as the Verona is trying to back out to get away from these shots, these 200 men with guns shooting at peaceful protesters, the boat got far enough away and they started shooting at the ones in the water that couldn't get away as fast as the boat and swim. They killed over a dozen
good people that day, and they wounded nearly 50. And they tried to say that the workers started it, but it was determined later that all of the sheriffs and the deputies that were shot and those that were killed by their own fire because they were so poorly arranged that they just shot across at each other. That's what happened. That's what the Everett Massacre was. And it happened in Ludlow. It happened around the country in various places. Again, we see violence being used against workers to try and keep them in their place, to try and keep them subservient to the progress of industry. So Brad shows up on Jack Miller's doorstep, and he knocks on the door in 1979, and Jack Miller, hunched over from years of hard labor, looks at Brad and sums him up in three words, says, "College kid, huh?" And Brad sheepishly says, "Yes." He says, "Well, let me tell you something, college kid. You're living in the house that Jack built."
My name is Jack Miller. I'm an old union man. And you're standing right now in the house that Jack built. My pride is the work that I've done with my hands. It's the laboring man that has made this land great. I am an old man of 92. When you are my age, you'll realize it's true. Young and you're limber, your bones are like timber. But come the cold winter, you'll change in your ways. I've seen you grow up in what seems a few days. And you know more than I knew when I was your age. I went to the sawmill. I was just 12, and I learned how to run all the saws and the lathes. When Wobblies came round, I was first to sign on. We told the old boss that we wanted a raise. He hired his thugs, and they rounded us up. We ran through their gauntlet, and many were slain. I've worked all my life in the fields and the sawmills, built bridges and houses and roads and canals. We stood our ground firmly and organized strikes, and 50 years of working built the working man's rights. Let me tell you one thing, how I earned a good wage. There ain't no arms like folded arms for the working man's pay. There ain't no arms like folded arms for the working man's pay. My name is Jack Miller. I'm an old union man. And you're standing right now in the house that Jack built.
Again, that was Joe Jenks of The Rise is one CD. The House That Jack Built, Jack Miller. That's one of the things that Labor Day needs to go back to, and that is remembering where we come from, to remember whose house it is we live in. We live in the house of those who came before us. Jack wasn't talking about a physical house. He was talking about the labor movement, the workers' rights. When he's singing in there, there are no arms like folded arms for the working man's wage. The Tea Partyists are talking about taking up arms against our government, weapons. But just like Jack said, there are no arms like folded arms. That is to strike. That is to withhold your labor. And that is why unionists talk of scabs, people who cross picket lines, with such contempt. Because all it takes is not to cross the picket line. That's it. We win. Yeah. We win if people don't cross picket lines.
Yeah, because whenever one of these people does cross a picket line, not only are they undermining the people who are picketing? They're undermining themselves. And they're probably doing what they're doing out of desperation and a little bit of foolishness. Because, you know, they're sacrificing for the immediate, you know, for the right now. They're sacrificing the future for all workers.
And we need to remember on Labor Day, those who sacrificed to improve that. The people in the Verona who were killed fighting for their rights. We benefit from their blood, and we need to remember them because it's a problem. It's a problem for young people. They're not teaching it in schools. The problem is the young ones don't remember.
He raised the gnarled finger. There's the place we used to meet, where old John Elwood Beller bring each miner to his feet. And the boys would dream about the day they'd each be underground, and the greenbacks flow like paint streak through the town. Oh, I remember back in 29, times was hard back then. It was 50 cents a ton, young boys would do the work of men. And the faces in the lamplight were the families all alone, waiting for the ones who never would come home. But the young ones don't remember, how are they to know? All the fights we fought to give them futures down below. And they'll cheer for solidarity off in some foreign land, but not a one will take the Union stand. Oh, they called us everything back then, from outlaws to damn reds. And many was the time old families murdered in their beds. But the dead marched on before us as we turned the tyrant's tide and raised our Union's banner high for the fight. But the young ones don't remember, how are they to know? All the fights we fought to give them futures down below. And they'll cheer for solidarity off in some foreign land, but not a one will take the Union's stand. Got bad again, and they swallowed all the lies. The flame dimmed to a flicker, you could see it in their eyes. Those who can't learn from the past are cursed with it again, and mock ones who suffer so in vain. Now from my home where all we pensioners live across the tracks, I watch the children walk the rails to gather coal in sacks, to drive away the chill that haunts too many a miner's home, till they realize they're not alone. But the young ones don't remember, how are they to know? All the fights we fought to give them futures down below. And they'll cheer for solidarity off in some foreign land, but not a one will take the Union's stand. Yes, they'll cheer for solidarity off in some foreign land, but not a one will take the Union's stand.
And that was John McCutcheon. Gonna Rise Again, CD, The Young Ones Don't Remember. It's our job, brothers and sisters, union members, union sympathizers, to educate and teach the young ones, especially building trades, you know, journeymen. Don't just teach your apprentices the trade. Teach them the history. Teach them why it's important and what must be done to maintain what we have gained, because it's one with blood. And there are some people that do know, they do remember, and they are fighting. What I want to do now is go to some workers who need your help. The Mott's workers are over 100 days they've been on strike. The company has been making record profits, but they're trying to force a pay cut. These workers are saying, no, we refuse. We will fold our arms and make you back off. But they need our help because there are scabs going in and trying to keep that plant going. We're going to play some audio from a July 10th rally for the Mott's workers. You can find out more at mottsworkers.org or check out their Facebook page. Check out the Mott's workers. But this is from the rally on July 9th.
Everybody ready? We don't know if it's okay.
We don't know if it's okay.
We're not gonna work today.
We're not gonna work today.
'Cause you don't wanna treat us fair.
You don't wanna treat us fair.
That just shows that you don't care.
That just shows that you don't care.
We're not gonna go away.
We're not gonna go away.
This union is here to stay.
This union is here to stay.
A fair contract is all we ask.
Fair contract is all we ask.
If that's not it, then kiss our ass.
If that's not it, then kiss our ass.
We are asking for very reasonable things. We were asking to stay right where we were the day we walked out the door.
Many of us workers here, we've been here 15, 20 years. You know, it was just like a family at one time. That's gone away. Dr. Pepper Snapple, that's what happened to us.
I have never, ever seen a better example of corporate greed than I see here today. Whenever they ask you to back down, we stand with you when you say no. Whenever they push you around, we stand with you when you fight back.
It really disgusts me to think that other people want to take and dominate their workers to the point where they can put them in financial hardship. They think that we could be basically dealt with as a commodity or slave labor.
They're not the heart and soul of this company, of this product. They didn't build the reputation of this company. Who did?
We did.
That's right. Corporate profits are up. Workers' pay is down. Is that fair?
No.
It's not fair. There's no justice. That is wholly un-American. I am so proud to stand here with you today, and I'm going to stand with you until they come to the table and they give workers what they deserve.
I actually put my life on hold, and I've been camping out here for the last 20 days. True story. I've been living in a tent. That way I could cut back on the gas mileage and keep up with the rest of my bills.
Everyone is asking Mott's one simple thing, and that is to come back to the table and negotiate in good faith with these workers.
Big corporations and their banks, they're the ones that caused this downturn in the economy, and now they want workers to pay for it. And it's time we stand up and fight back and say, hell no, we're not going to take it anymore.
That's why you're here. You are fighting for the ordinary American that goes to work every day, works hard for, yes, 39, 42 years, and deserves a fair wage for it.
Last Sunday, I was with my father having breakfast on Father's Day. When I told him what was going on up here at Williamson, he says, and I will not have Mott's applesauce today or any other day until those guys come back to the table. On behalf of my father and out of my sisters and brothers, this is why I think about them. They're trying to break our will. They're trying to break the union. You know what? Kiss my ass.
Help them. God bless you and God bless America.
workers, human beings. They are just, and this is their own word, a commodity. We have been out here for 5 weeks, and we will be out here one day longer than them.
This company just wants to destroy the union and anything to do with the union. And this Local 220 is here to tell them we're here to stay and we're not going away, and they need to deal with us.
Everything's fine here on the picket line. Spending all your time out on the picket line. Your feet and back get sore, but you gotta walk some more just to get your point out on the picket line. You can see all your friends here on the picket line. We're together till the end on this picket line. Everybody's here to stay, 'cause we're walking night and day, until we get our way on the picket line. So people blow your horn when you're passing by, to know you really care, Lord, it makes us high. We're together young and old, just to get our story told, united till the end on that picket line. Spending all our time out on the picket line. Your feet and back are sore, but you've got to walk some more just to get your point across on that picket line. Yeah, your feet and back is sore, but you've got to walk some more just to get your story told out on the picket line. Everybody's fine on the picket line.
And that last one was actually an entry into the Union Song Contest. That was a Mott striker, Charles Mattis, who is singing about their struggle there in upstate New York. And I'm not advocating anybody vote for any particular song in the Union Song Contest, but I am trying to get people to go and participate, listen to the songs, vote for your favorites. The voting has started today and will be going for about 4 weeks, so you have plenty of time to listen to those 46 songs. And just a reminder, if you're, I'd mentioned this at the top of the show, but if you joined us in the middle, there's a one-day-a-year Labor Day sale at theunionbootpro.com. 35% off union-made, American-made work boots. If you check out their website, you have no excuse for not buying American-made, union-made work boots. 35% off. That's even cheaper than the crap you can buy in China. So no excuses. Please do that. The Mott's workers are standing up. They're fighting. They're doing what they can. They are going to need help in order to prevail. Many people are standing up with them. It's important that we join with them. I've got a song here by John McCutcheon that I want to dedicate to those Mott's workers because they are standing up. And the song is called Stand Up.
Stand up, stand up, stand up.
From the CD Kids Days and Holidays, Sterling Dakota Foster. Just a little reminder, you know, that we have to teach kids what it is, even if it's a very simplistic idea of what Labor Day is about. We need to teach them that it's not really about sales at the local store. It's about a little bit more than that. And we hope you kind of enjoyed it. A little bit lighthearted, but important.
Yeah, I was thinking when you were talking earlier about Labor Day history that this is the one thing you'll never find in our high schools or curriculum, and something that we have to pass on to our children. We have to do it ourselves because, you know, the culture is always kind of dominated by the elite who don't want to teach anything about the struggles. They always want you to come at it from a weak point of view. You always want to have the advantage, and if you want to have the advantage of standing up for yourself, then we're going to have to pass it on ourselves. So this is something we have to do.
Absolutely. And this next song really touches on that. The song is called What Will I Leave Behind? We're all going to die. We're all mortal beings. We're not going to last forever. At some point in our lives, we have to ask ourselves this question. What will I leave behind?
Late in the evening as light fades away in silence, gather together, searching the faces of those who are here for those who left us forever. Who caught flame in the night, fired up by the heat of devotion, measuring their lives by the light of the truth, they burned like a lamp on the ocean. What will I leave? What will I leave? What will I leave behind? When I'm carry on, what will I leave behind? Who will remember the words of the brave that lifted us higher and higher. Who will remember the price that they paid for lies? Live too close to the fire. What will I leave? What will I leave? What will I leave behind? When I am gone, who'll carry on? What will I leave behind? Hearts of the ones who inherit their lives will rest in the words they have spoken. Memory will echo the trust that they kept. Like you, it can never be broken. What will I leave? What will I leave? What will I leave behind? When I'm gone, who'll carry on? What will I leave behind? When I'm gone, who'll carry on? What will I leave behind?
That was Laura Blades and Joe Jenks singing what Will I Leave Behind? The question we all need to ask ourselves at some point, and make sure that we do leave something behind. Educated apprentices, educated co-workers, benefits, pension. These are all things that we need to leave behind. A legacy of fighting for the rights of working class people and to make sure that there is a middle class. I'm going to go to Joe Euland, Two Roads, 28-year CD, Rise Again.
I can feel the spirit building, soft as a whisper, but loud as a roar. And I can feel something stirring like I never had before. We've been quiet too long, my friends, but the working folks of this country will rise again. We've been quiet for 30 years now. You had the work and you gave us the pay, but with hard times around the corner, you'd think we'd see our better day. But we're not going back to where we began, 'cause the working folks of it. They were old time union warriors. They gave no thought of giving in. We will rekindle that spirit once again as the working
Again, that was off the Joe Euland CD, Two Roads, 28 Years, Rise Again. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to happen without you. You have to make it rise again. You have to take part in it. You have to teach the young ones so that they do remember. And you need to stand up like the Mott's workers. And we need to stand up in solidarity with them. Because they are in a fight with a huge multi-billion-dollar corporation.
And if they win, we all win.
That's right. And if they lose, we all lose.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's been a really quick 3 hours, but you can always catch us at our normal time, Friday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. We would like to send a shout-out to the TSU members that are grilling in this horrible weather for their Labor Day potluck dinner. And we would like to have a shout-out to Ann Feeney,
yeah,
who is someone who has donated a lot of time and energy helping striking workers all over the country.
Mm-hmm. And she needs some help now.
She needs help now. And it's time for all those people that she has helped through fundraisers in their strikes and battles to stand up with her and help her get through this trying time.
Yeah. I read some of all her hair is falling out now. And just, you know, and she's going to get through this. But, you know, it's a very painful process. And she's going to be out of work for a while because she can't go on a tour. So if you can get on her website, check it out, and maybe just take the, you know, maybe $50 or something, send that in, and that would really help her get through a very difficult time and a way of thanking her for all the years of hard work she's put in for us.
That's right. AnnFeeney.com is her website. You can also find her on Facebook. Do what you can. If you can't help monetarily, send her words of encouragement and support. She really appreciates it. We hope you enjoyed this year's Labor Day special, and we hope you enjoyed your Labor Day weekend. Until this Friday, this is Ron.
This is Joseph. Thanks to Monica and Robert out on the boards, and Christine out doing her work. And be sure to catch her at the, what's that, chapel?
The Rothel Chapel.
Rothel Chapel.
Tomorrow night, 7
o'clock. Tomorrow night, yeah.
Absolutely. And we're going to close out with the United Steelworkers CD, Solidarity Rocks. Brothers and sisters, solidarity is where it's at. That's where our power comes from. There are no arms like folded arms. Peace and solidarity.
Amen, brother.
Celebrate spring with the Discover Green Thursday Concert Series, presented by Capital One Bank and co-sponsored by KPFT-FM. The fall season features free concerts showcasing outstanding regional performers in September and October, starting September 9th and running through October 14th. Discover Green is Houston's number one spot to picnic on the grass, dance on the patio, and watch the sunset over the gorgeous downtown skyline. Take your office on an outing or disconnect the neighborhood kids from their video games to show them some real guitar heroes and rock bands. This week's free concert features explosive Latin ska and funk from Los Cardinales and Karina Nestal. Shows start at 6:30 and everyone is welcome. Most street parking is free starting at 6 p.m. Bring your picnics, blankets, and lawn chairs, but leave your glass containers and alcohol at home. Visit discoverygreen.com for more info. KPFT Houston.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
KPFT is holding an election to seat delegates on the local station board. A series of candidate forums is being held on the air for you to hear more from these board candidates. Tune in Monday through Friday, September 6th through 10th from noon to 1 p.m. to hear the second week of on-air candidate forums. It is time for listeners to elect 9 new members to the board of directors. Visit kpft.org to learn more about the elections and to read candidate statements and more posted online material now. Completed ballots will be due September 30th. Again, tune in Monday through Friday, September 6th through 10th from noon to 1 p.m. to hear the second week of on-air candidates.